following program contains material not suitable for children, adults, or childish adults.
Are you ready?
Pretend you like it, no matter how bad it stinks.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Bagels Plus. With over 18 different varieties of bagels, come in today for fresh and hot homemade goodness. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. Aches Place, 134 Church Street, Burlington. And now, it's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. I am back. It's been a while. My good buddy, Bernie. Good morning, Bern.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
And the Scotty of this station. If this station was a Starship Enterprise, Scotty would be Jamie Dennis. Jamie's filling in for Dave this morning. Jamie, well done on that SportsCenter, pal.
Thanks.
Minus you did nothing I asked you to do, which, you know, is typical for this show. Because everything I ask people to do here, nobody does.
Hold on. You asked them to do a nice job covering all the local stuff,
right,
which is very good because we're a local show on Saturday.
Right.
But, geez, I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Jamie's filling in, doing a great job for Dave.
Very good job.
Trying. I'm trying my best to be Dave. Right.
I mean, you're doing so far in 4 minutes, you've done a wonderful job.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
And now, Jamie has to throw in, that's right, because it wasn't mentioned on the original SportsCenter that the Red Sox won,
right,
who I like, right, and, the Yankees lost
yeah,
who you I happen like to like, and yeah, Dave, who's not here, happen to like. It's unbelievable. It's a conspiracy against me.
Okay, for the record.
It's a conspiracy.
Okay, for the record, to be completely transparent, I would have absolutely added the Red Sox win over a very bad Rays team, but no big deal. Last night, congratulations on your Sox win.
You can only play who's in front of you.
I totally agree. Okay, so they won last night. Good for them.
Yeah.
And the Yankees got beat. Tough loss for the Yanks. A bad loss for the Yankees.
Cracked.
No, they are 5-1. They blew a lead. Terrible.
Yeah, what was the final score?
11-5.
So they gave up 10 runs.
Understood.
Yeah, they got smacked.
Okay, fair enough. And I would have absolutely added that if this was mid July or early August. But there happened to be a lot of high school sports games last night, and I felt that it was more important to help the kids of our community. Hold on a minute now. I'm just going to be transparent with you, Mr. Sipley.
And then I'm going to rebuttal.
Okay, fair enough. So I decided that I would put together a nice Sports Center for, you know, Jamie's filling in. I thought it would be all, you know, all local sports. And then you immediately attack me by saying, because I don't have your beloved Red Sox winning last night and my Yankees losing. So here, let's do it again. The Red Sox won, the Yankees lost. Do you feel better now?
No.
Okay, then give me your rebuttal. How are you going to rebut what I just said?
Well, first of all,
go ahead.
I complimented you earlier on how good the Sports Center was with getting as much local stuff involved.
When did you compliment me? You never compliment me, number one. When did he compliment me?
I think there was like a 3 second interval there in between yelling at you.
Smile at me or something? Like, I mean, that gave me these.
There was a confirmed nod.
Okay, maybe. I didn't. And then I apologize if you nodded at me. Okay,
and,
fair enough.
And then, you know, there's 20 games left in baseball.
Not many.
Right.
Right.
And so, if it was the middle of July when there's 4,000 games left, let's talk about that with all the way to go. We're down the stretch.
Yeah,
you know, the division's getting locked up, playoff positioning, jockeying, and Red Sox win, Yankees lose.
Well, again.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Now, there are time constraints with SportsCenter, so I couldn't get all of that in. But Jamie, as a pro, he is the pro, which I am not a pro. I mean, obviously, Jamie is much better at this.
Yeah, you're a homer. You're not a pro.
I'll stop.
Yeah, okay. How we doing?
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. 802-655-6672 if you're outside the local area and you're listening to us all over the world, because you can hear this show all over the world on 1013ESPN.com. Did you know that, Bern? All over the world you can hear us. That's pretty cool, right? So you could be anywhere in this country. You could be anywhere in this world, and you can hear Sports Saturday every Saturday. Or you can join us on our text line, the Town Fair Tire text line. Just text us to 802-655-6672. Haven't been here for a couple weeks. I was really excited to get back here today.
Yeah. You on a lot of assignments, and you did a very good job with those.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm working hard at those, and I appreciate you updating that I was on assignment.
Yes.
It sounds cool when somebody says you were on assignment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because I'm usually not doing many assignments. Well,
so since I never compliment you,
right.
You're welcome. Okay,
okay, yeah, thanks okay. very much. Okay. Anyway, yeah. But I've already had a bad morning.
Why?
And I was so excited to do
Why?
The show. I went to bed early last night, got home. I went to bed like at 9:30, tried to fall asleep, went to try to go to sleep. 5:30 this morning, my dog jumps on the bed. Okay, Gracie jumps on the bed.
Wait,
5:30
this morning. You got two dogs, right?
I have two dogs. This is a yellow lab. She's a 100-pound yellow lab. Decides she's going to get on the bed.
Now,
it's time for her to get out. Go ahead.
Is this the one that when you come home
yep.
at lunch, you yep. don't take for a walk, you just bring treats?
Oh, that's not true. Who told you that?
Doesn't matter.
My wife tell you that?
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to have a talk about that later on. But that might be the one. Yes.
Okay.
Because it's never my wife's fault that anything. So the dog's gained a little weight. Okay. You know she's gotten a little chubby.
Who goes home at lunch now?
I go home before I go to practice.
Okay.
At Colchester.
Do you take the dog for a walk?
Well,
like your wife used to do.
My wife likes to do. Yeah, she likes it. Okay. No, I don't do that. I don't have time to do that. I don't have like a lunch break where I'm home for like an hour. I go home, I change, and I go to Colchester so I can coach the team.
So you come home, you bring treats.
Can I just tell my story, please?
Well, I want to get for transparency for
Fair
the understanding
enough.
Of the story.
Okay, but I don't.
Do
but I don't
home?
Bring treats home with me. I don't go leave said where I work.
Okay, because you already have the treats
store.
At home.
Yeah, I give the dog a treat when I go into. You know, if I have,
then let him go back to sleep and don't take.
No,
it for a
she.
Walk.
Listen. There's a picture that's been painted to you by my beautiful wife, who I love dearly, by the way. But she likes to create this picture of that she's never wrong. You know what I mean? I don't
Dude,
know.
Dude, is any wife
that.
Ever wrong?
Well, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
My wife falls under
no
that
wife
category.
Is ever wrong.
No matter what.
Yeah,
happens.
That's understandable.
She's a one upper.
Always right.
Oh. Yeah, she's one of those one-uppers. You know what I mean? Like,
I know one-uppers.
Well, so that dog you're talking about decides at 5:30 this morning she wants to get up, and she's hungry, I think. She wanted breakfast
Man,
or something.
You did. Yeah. You must have not given her a treat at lunch.
I didn't, because I didn't come home. Anyway, she jumps up on the bed, jumps in between Monica and I, and, you know, I'm like half asleep, so I don't even know what part of her body is where, but I can feel this dog next to me, and all of a sudden I hear this, like this.
Monica.
And... You know, I'm like, what is that? And the dog, and I open my eyes, and my head is directly next to my dog's rear end, and the dog farts in my face. Literally, just boom. And I'm going to tell you, anyone that has a dog knows that dogs passing gas is
terrible.
Is not good. It is like, clean out the room. And I mean, like, knocked me out. I could taste it. It was in my eyes. It was in everywhere. So that's how I woke up this morning, Bern. So that I got, so 5:30.
What an alarm clock that is.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Like, hello. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, this is, I looked it up. It was like 5:15, 5:30. I'm like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes again. And I'll say here. And I didn't think much of it. I opened up my eyes and I see what was happening and boom. That's how I woke up this morning. So I'm already in a bad mood. Then I come in here and the Yankees blow a 5-1 lead. I have to come in here and deal with you. First thing out of your mouth is, look at this ridiculous sports. And I can't believe this. Jamie's already practicing his Red Sox win, Yankee lose thing. I mean, I'm already dealing with it. And so this is where I've started. I couldn't wait to get back here. Couldn't wait to talk to the great people we get to talk to every day. And this is what you treat me to when I come back.
Well,
typical.
To make you feel better, why don't you tell everybody who we get to talk to today?
Well, we do have a great show. I'm glad you said that, Bernie.
It's called a segue.
It was well done. You really are a pro. And by the way, before I tell people what we got going on, good job holding the fort down here, son.
Oh,
good
thanks.
Job.
Thanks.
Really, really good job, because you've been very committed through this whole process. You have been here almost every week where I've been gone, and I've been gone a lot. So I wanted to publicly say, Bernie, thank you for grabbing this bull by the horns and taking care of it for us while I was out.
I appreciate it. Who we got, please?
All right, okay. Fine. At 10:20, we are going to talk to our good friend, Giant beat writer Tara Sullivan. She is going to be en route to Dallas. As Bernie and I both know, the Giants have a huge game tomorrow night down in Big D. Huge game for the Giants, huge game for Dallas. Zeke Elliott is going to play. It looks like he's not going to be suspended. Yeah, crazy, right? It looks like there was a U.S. Supreme Court judge, federal judge, decided that They're gonna block the suspension, so he's gonna be playing. The New York Giants, a team that's got a lot of expectation, a football team that's been talking a little bit against another team that's been talking a little bit, the Dallas Cowboys, two of the best teams in the NFC, potentially facing off tomorrow night. We're gonna talk to Tara Sullivan. We're excited about that. At 10:40, we've got ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirchen joining us, so we are gonna be able to talk about my Yanks and your Red Sox, talk about the Cleveland Indians, who have won like 2,000 games straight, the LA Dodgers, who have fallen off the face of the earth, the Arizona Diamondbacks look like a great baseball team. If you are not following baseball right now, it is crazy. It is crazy, especially that AL wild.
But we couldn't even get it mentioned in SportsCenter.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you why, because my priority, again, was making sure the high school things were out there, Bern. That's why I didn't do it. But we're going to talk to Tim Kirchner all about that. We're excited about that.
Always
and
exciting.
At 11:40, you can get your texts in now if you want. So you can call in when it happens. At 11:40 today, we talked to Jake Ken. He's our football insider, our fantasy football insider, so we can answer all your questions as we go into week one of fantasy. And I personally have some big questions, because week one fantasy to me is the toughest week of the year.
And, you know, with the unfortunate situation that's going on down in Florida with the weather,
exactly.
A lot of quality players forced into a bye week early.
Yeah.
That
and how does that work exactly? I wondered that, because, like, for example, Miami's game and Tampa Bay's game has been postponed
to week 11 because they both had a bye week then. So everybody's off this week, and then they'll play on week 11.
So they both had the same bye week.
Correct.
How'd that work out? That's very lucky.
I'd have to ask the NFL schedule.
But I don't know. But isn't that kind of crazy that those
because
every team has different bye weeks. It just was very fortunate.
Right, and I think they do it by division. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It just worked out.
It's definitely worked out. And obviously, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that could be hit by this. This storm that's coming in is a monster. It really is a terrible storm. And I've got a lot of close friends down in Florida. That one friend of mine that lives down in the Miami area, it can't get enough gas to get out of there. He's been trying for 3 days to get gas. Every time he goes, there's no gas. People are like, you know, they're grabbing it, they're hoarding it, and obviously for good reasons, but he's going to have to ride it out. I've got more good friends that are hanging out that live in the Cocoa Beach area, and they're going to ride it out as well. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody down there to stay safe and make sure you're putting yourself in the best position you can to stay safe, because this storm is no joke. And from what it looks like, it's almost bigger than the state of Florida, this storm.
And it's gonna linger and go through other states throughout the course of the week.
Yeah, it goes into South Carolina, it really is a scary time. It really is a scary time down there. So hopefully everybody's ready, and you know, the damage is limited, and hopefully, or maybe a miracle happens and the thing disperses or something. Maybe it turns, who knows. But our thoughts and prayers go to everybody down in the Southeast and that's preparing for this big storm. All right, Bernie, so listen, I have to ask you this quick question. Something came across my Facebook earlier. Actually, last night I was reading it, and I want to get your opinion on it, because I know you're big into NCAA basketball, and I am too, but you've been in it. So there's a potential NCAA basketball rule change that will allow, and this is very interesting to me. So right now, if you transfer from a school, you have to sit out a whole year. So basically, you know, if I decide to leave my school this year, I'd have to sit out a whole year before you could play. The NCAA is kind of playing with the idea of not having that happen, where players can leave and then play the next year if their grades are still strong enough when they leave. What's your take on that?
Can't stand it.
Crazy, right?
Not, because now everybody gets, you know, the continual recruiting never ends. So, you know, if I'm at Duke,
yeah,
and you're at Virginia, and you decide to go to Virginia instead of coming to Duke, and you don't play, now I can say, hey, Jeff.
Yeah, come on over.
Told you weren't going to play. Come over. It's
the revolving
door. The only thing that I would like to see is if a coach gets fired or leaves for another job, those kids can go and play right away. Because that's not fair.
And really what it comes to, it's kind of like you'd be able to put super teams together. I mean, teams would be able to just say, hey, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody would be able to go to Kentucky or Duke or whatever it ends up being.
You could get like seven guys together and be like, hey, let's win it in Michigan, and then let's go to Kansas, and then let's go to Kentucky, let's go to Vermont.
That is a great point. Or how about that? What if that happened? Do you think about that for a minute? Like, let's think about that. Seven of the best basketball players in the country decide, let's all go to Vermont. Use Vermont as an example, a mid-major team. Let's all go to Vermont and go win a championship, and then we'll go back to Kentucky next year. We'll all go where we want to go. Can you imagine? And that potentially could happen.
I mean, that's an extreme but possibility. But again, I just don't think the never-ending recruiting. So now a junior is going to, you know, a junior in college.
Well, let me ask you this question. Would you be able to, and that would be a question that I don't know this answer, but reading it, they didn't say, would a coach be able to recruit a player that's playing right now?
If you can play for, why not?
So, like, you have an injury. So, you know, you realize that someone leaves early, you can go after somebody else
who's
big.
I mean, if they allow, it becomes the wild, wild, wild west.
I mean, that would bury mid-major teams, I think. I mean, that really would be. I mean,
but would it? Because now mid-majors could go pluck the 13th person off of Ohio State.
Yeah, okay, maybe they could do that, but that's how
the trickle down effect.
But to me, that would be, for we'll use an example like UVM. UVM is loaded. They've got some tremendous talent, and I'm sure that a lot of those kids were approached and had the opportunity to maybe leave here to go to a quote unquote bigger school, a bigger basketball school, but they don't want to lose that year of having to sit out, and for whatever reason, now you're talking about those kids could say, you know what? Okay, thanks. This was like a good like minor league for me here. I built myself up. Now I'm going to go play at Rhode Island, or I'm going to go play at wherever it ends up being.
That's a great point from that perspective. If the mid-major can get that that kid who, you know, kind of flew under the radar a little bit, then explodes on the scene, then
well,
go.
It's definitely something we'll have to talk about. We need to take a quick break because we have Tara Sullivan that we got to talk to. She's getting us ready for the Giants Dallas. We're going to take a quick one. We're going to come right back. Me, Bern, and Jamie, you listen to Sports Saturday. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you? Have you ball?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
You know, Bernie, when we first came on, you asked me why I was laughing. And so before, as we were getting ready to go on the air, I was Facebooking a picture of the studio. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm back in the big seat today. I'm excited. Tune into 101.3 ESPN right now. Listen to my buddy Bernie and I talk sports. And I said, and I wrote, listen to my Bernie and I talk sports.
Aww.
And I, you know, thank I was like, oh, oops. And I was panicking because I'm like, oh, God, I got to change that real fast, you know. So,
thank you, Boo Boo.
My Bernie. Yeah. My big Bernie over there.
We have missed each other.
Hey, let me just say this. We are excited about the Giants opening up this week. And yes, we are. And stop it. Stop, you always play this card. Like, no, you are as excited as I am. You're wearing your Giants t-shirt. You got your Giants shorts on. You got your Giants logo on your phone. So don't tell me you're not excited. They're playing Dallas.
Okay.
And there is not a better person to talk to about the Giants when they're getting ready to play a big game than our good friend, Giant Insider. Tara Sullivan, who joins us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Tara, right now, is in the back of a large limousine being taken to the airport because she's getting ready to go to Dallas. You probably didn't know that, Bernie. Am I right, Tara?
Well, she is big time.
She is big time.
I don't know about that, and I feel like I'm interrupting the bromance here, but thanks for letting me join. I am in my trusted car service with my wonderful driver on the way to the airport, indeed.
Well, you must be pretty excited because it's a huge game tomorrow night down in Dallas. The Giants, very high expectations with this football team, and Dallas the same way. A lot of expectations with this team. Dak Prescott obviously had a tremendous freshman season. Now we go to the sophomore season, and that's really where, you know, you find out what the quarterback is because now you've got a year of tape on him, and now Zeke Elliott is going to play. So we'll talk about the game in a moment, but let's look at the Giants. Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt against Cleveland. We were not sure what's happening there. So I guess we'll start with that. What's your gut with Odell Beckham Jr.?
You know, early in the week, I would have thought he was going to play, but the fact that he never got on the practice field, you know, the odds seem diminished to me. I think he'll probably be out there trying, my gut says, I don't know. I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to risk it in game one of the year, you know, of the 16-game season.
Tara, you know, there was a video when I was walking the other day, and I guess ESPN had it, and they were in the dome with the Giants for like the first half hour. And I guess what the Giants allowed the media to go in there for the first half hour or so is that
yeah,
the rule?
Yeah, about 20 minutes or so. Yeah, and once training camp is over. Yeah,
and he was moving all right. I mean, he was dancing and running around. I mean, could the Giants be playing a little game here to make people think he's not practicing?
You know, anything's possible, but I can't imagine Odell being a willing conspirator in that because he loves to practice. You know what I'm saying? So he's not a guy who just would go along with that if that's what they're trying to do. I think it's all legit. Clearly, you know, we all saw the hit. We know how much worse it could have been. And maybe that was why there was such initial, if relief was the word, you know, because it wasn't the knee and it didn't look as bad as it was. But if it's that high ankle sprain, which is what it appears to be, even though they don't tell you any detail, you know, that's a tough thing to come back from, to be a receiver who moves as fast and as cuts as quickly, you know, the way Odell does. So I wish I had the answer, you know, but I just don't know. 50-50 to me seems the right way to put it.
So Tara, you know, the end of the year, the offensive line, the tackles are rated as arguably the worst in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything to get, you know, they don't make any transition. They go with the same two guys. As a Giants fan, give me some hope. Tell me why this offensive line is going to be able to flip the switch and the Giants are going to have a great season.
Well, it is the key. There's no doubt about that. That's where it's really like the only area where the doubt, you know, still lies and hovers over there. I'll say this, like Pro Football Focus, you know, which does a lot of interesting statistics, you know, gave Bobby Hart huge, great grades for his training camp that he did not allow a quarterback pressure and pass protection at all this preseason. You know, Eric Flowers did come in better shape. Not that he was in bad shape, but better shape. Spent his entire offseason training at the facility, adding some things like boxing and things like that that he thinks will help his hands. And, you know, because his problem is just once the fire is real, he tends to just fall back on bad habits and has bad techniques. So they worked with him a lot this offseason. And I thought he had a decent training camp, the preseason. The problem to me was even more that the interior part of the line, which is supposed to be the stronger part, was not good this preseason. Like, they didn't seem to be getting the push in the running game, and a little bit more in against the Jets, but again, it's against the Jets, so I don't know. I mean, that is all I can tell you, is there's a little bit of optimism. They have to be better than they were last year. I can't imagine them getting worse. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talent, a lot of high draft talent on that line, so they expect it to be better this year.
So, you know, in the preseason, the offense is always kind of vanilla, and, you know, it just kind of, you know, just the simple routines. What will Evan Engram bring to this Giants offense and allow them to get more creative on that side of the ball?
Well, I think he's the most exciting addition. As much as, you know, Brandon Marshall, we kind of know what he brings, and I think there's something that Eli loves, you know, about that height and that kind of thing. Engram is just, you know, it's the type of player the Giants really haven't had, I guess, in Shockey. You know, he doesn't block like Shockey, but he's just so fast. He has such a receiver-like skill set, but in the body of a tight end. So he was really impressive on the practice field, at least that I saw at this training camp. And I think, you know, Eli just knows that it's this other outlet. You know, they do have trouble running the ball, and anytime you have maybe that short pass or these other options that then can open up the running game, I think that that's what they're hoping for with Engram.
Tara, you know, the offensive line's obviously a question mark, but they have so many weapons now. To me, the biggest question mark here, and we know that they've got to run the ball, is Eli. I mean, Eli, to me, and everything I hear is...
You're such a hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm a realist here when it comes to Eli Manning. And look, he's the Giants quarterback. He's an Iron Man. You respect what he's done. He's won 2 Super Bowls. But he seems to be the guy that, you know, he didn't look good in the preseason. You know, he doesn't look sharp. He doesn't look... You know, I guess that's my biggest concern. Does Eli still have the game to do what this team has potential to do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm much more in the still believe in Eli. I think he has a good couple of years still left in him. Honestly, I think the biggest problem Eli has had is just how poor the line has been. He's so rushed all the time, and I know it's a quick-moving offense in this West Coast style, but I watch sometimes, like, you know, listen, they're going to Dallas. I watch some of their preseason games, and the stuff I see their offensive line do and the time that Prescott has compared to what Eli has, it's 2 different worlds. So I do, to answer your question simply, yes, Eli Manning still absolutely 100% has the game to win another Super Bowl. I don't have any doubt about that. The way he played in Green Bay last year, I think, should have told you that. I just think they need to make sure that he has time to do what it is he needs to do.
So you just mentioned the Dallas offensive line. So let's look at Dallas a little bit here. The Giant defense, to me, is just scary good. I mean, I haven't been this excited about the Giants since I was like 14, and they had LT and Carson and those guys.
I hear you.
So, you know, this offensive line Dallas has, does this Giant defense match up well with them?
It does indeed. Funny, I had a conversation last week with one of the scouts from Dallas, and they even will admit it. You know, the Giants are their worst matchup, you know, for them. That's what it is. Look at what they did with Elliott last year. They contained him and Dez Bryant really in both matchups, beat the Cowboys twice last year. They do. They're, you know, the Giants' defensive line, Damon Harrison is as good as it gets, you know, in clogging up the middle. They did lose Hankins, it is, right? So there's a replacement there, but I do think they feel pretty comfortable with who moves in between Bromley and the rookie second-round pick. So, you know, it's a great matchup, and whoever wins that, listen, they always say that about the trenches, but it's even bigger when the Giants and the Cowboys meet because it's strength on strength.
What is the Giants' rotation in the secondary going to be, especially if they see teams that are going, you know, 3-4 wide and potentially line up another tight end in the slot? How are they going to rotate people in?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to stick with the top four guys are the top four guys, right? The Tego, even the top five, DRC and Jenkins, and then Apple, and then the two safeties, Collins, you know, who might be their best draft pick in recent years just because of what they did and where they got him. And then the other guy just went out of my head. The other safety, it'll pop into my head in a minute. But I guess that is probably, if you're going to look at depth on defense, getting further down the secondary chain is where the questions come up. And they made that trade, you know, late there at the end of training camp. So that's something I think we won't truly know the rotation until we watch it in action. But as far as their top, you know, three corners, and see, I think they feel really confident in the talent they have there.
We are talking to Tara Sullivan, Giant Insider, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Tara, we only have a couple minutes left. I know you're trying to get to your plane to go to Dallas. But real quick, Ben McAdoo had an interesting quote this week. Somebody asked him about the Dallas secondary, and I think he said, when you know who's going to be out there, let me know, which is kind of out of Ben McAdoo's playbook, I would think, because that sounds yeah, like some you know, bulletin board material. But Dallas's defense is different this year, right?
Well, that's the big thing. Yeah, they had huge turnover, and I think that's why, as many people are picking Dallas, that's the only part I would say maybe why people could or should pick the Giants, because there's so much turnover on defense. They, you know, look at Mo Claiborne's over now with the Jets, and they drafted Taco Charlton. You know, they definitely have a lot of personnel changes, and I think the Giants have to deal. Now, listen, if they don't have Odell, does that change from their perspective what they can take advantage of? But I think, yeah, everybody's kind of waiting to see what the Dallas rotation is going to be on defense.
So before we let you go, you're going down to Jerry World. Tell someone, like, we're sitting up here in Burlington, Vermont, getting ready to watch it on television. How special and how mammoth is that place?
I can't even put it into words, like, having gone there the first time during the Super Bowl season. It's just crazy. Like, the scoreboard itself, I feel like, you know, is this the size of Rhode Island. You know, the scoreboard that hangs over the middle of the stadium, it's just massive. It's like you're walking into, I'm sure how people felt, you know, back at the Astrodome or something back in the day. Like, you feel like you're walking into the future a little bit. It just has this very futuristic exterior and look, and I can tell you, even from a press box perspective, like filet mignon and blue cheese salad, like they just do everything bigger in Texas, and it's a pretty cool place.
Tara, thanks so much. I got to have you on again, though, because I got to tell you how frustrated I am with the Yankees. It's like three steps forward, one step back. Come on, what is going on with this baseball team?
And he won't talk about it because we're all Red Sox fans up here.
Oh, be
so
quiet. That's not great. True at all. Tara, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a safe trip.
Thanks, Tara.
We love Tara Sullivan.
Oh, she's great.
She's great. But again, you know, she makes a lot of good points, you know, and obviously this Giant football team's got great potential to be successful. We know that offensive line has got some question marks, but if they hold them up, the Giants have weapons. On the Dallas side of things, we know offensively they're going to be good. I mean, Jason Witten's still playing. He's a Giant killer. We know that. Dez Bryant's obviously tough. We know what Zeke Elliott can do. But on the defensive end, you kind of look at it and think, you know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do defensively, the Dallas Cowboys? Because they really are a different football team defensively.
But again, what will the offensive line be able to do so the Giants' offense can be successful? And can the Giants stop a tight end this year?
And this defense can. I got to tell you, man, this defense looks so fast, so strong.
Yep.
I mean, we've had years where we've thought, okay, the Giant defense could be okay. Maybe there's some potential there, maybe a little bit. But this team, from the back to the front, they can do so much. And I know that there's questions. You have questions with linebacker. I thought those linebackers played great last year, and they're back this season. The defensive line has been great. But tell me what you think. Jason Pierre-Paul, he looks like 2011 right now.
Right. Well, I mean, again, he had a whole offseason to get healthy and get in shape. You know, he didn't have that opportunity last year. And then Olivier Vernon played the whole season with a broken hand.
That's true. That's true.
And you know, those two bookends with Snacks and Bromley and the guy from Alabama, Tomlinson, in the middle, that's as good as anybody.
Yeah, it really is. They've got a lot of... That's what I'm most excited to see. And obviously the offense. And as Tara says, and you say to me all the time, you've got to believe in Eli. And I want to believe in Eli. But I got to tell you, man, he just looks like he misses a lot of passes. But it might be because of the offensive line.
Look, when we talked to Bob Papa last year,
I was going to say the same thing.
Right? You're always hating on Eli.
I am not. See, you know, here's the thing about you, man, is that you got to put words in my mouth. I have never hated on Eli Manning. I've just...
You always struggle with Eli.
I do. I struggle with Eli.
So how is struggling and hating not the same thing?
Well, because I'm not down on him. I'm struggling.
Yeah, you are.
Like, come on, Eli.
Well, so you're hating on him.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about baseball. Bernie wants to talk baseball. We're going to do that.
Well, you want to talk about Cleveland and the Dodgers, but not about the Red Sox and Yankees.
We're going to talk about all that stuff with baseball analyst from ESPN, Tim Kirchen. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
We are Sports Saturday here.
We are awful.
Fantastic.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Just got off the phone with Tara Sullivan, Giant beat writer. I'll talk a little about Giants in Dallas tomorrow, Bernie, week one of the NFL season. But we're going to segue now to something that's getting towards the end of the season now, the baseball season. And there is some hot races going on right now. The American League wild card race is getting crazy. The American League East seems to get a little bit wider for the Sox. But who better to talk to about baseball than our good friend, ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirchen. He joins us right now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Good morning, Tim. How's it going?
I'm well, Jeff. I'm well, Bernie. You guys okay?
We're doing great.
Thank you.
Before we talk baseball, Tim, I know you're a huge basketball fan. Are you a big football fan? Are you excited about the NFL starting up?
Football, but ever since they went to the nickel package, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what a bubble screen is either. So once I figure that out, I'll enjoy it even more.
Sounds good, Tim. Sounds good. All right, there's so much to talk about. We're 20 something games left in the season. You've got a couple, you know, divisions that are locked up, but that AL wild card is really crazy. Let's talk about who you expect to come out of that.
Well, I think the Yankees are going to win the first wild card. They're a good team. I just don't think there's enough time to catch the Red Sox, and they don't play them again the rest of the way, which is going to hurt their chances. So I think they win the first wild card. And as much as I think this will be a great race to the finish, the Twins clearly now, to me, have the lane now to win the second wild card. They're 7 games over 500. Which isn't particularly noble, but in this race, it is. And the way they catch the ball, the way they've scored runs, they're one of the highest scoring teams in baseball since August the 1st. They've done a lot of that without Miguel Sano, their best hitter. He'll be back. And their strength of schedule, which I don't pay much attention to normally, it favors them. So I think the Twins are going to win the second wild card. But to say, oh, this is over, would be ridiculous because this wild card race, I still think, is going down right to the end.
Tim, the Yankees on paper look really good, and they really do. And as a Yankee fan myself, I'll be transparent with you. You know, you have these 3 or 4 days, you think, okay, here they come. They're going to go. And then they have a game like yesterday, or they have a game where Dellin Betances blows the game at Baltimore. I mean, for a team that's supposed to have this vaunted bullpen, this unbelievable bullpen, they've blown 23 games this year. If they didn't blow half of those games, they'd be up 10 games in the AL East. What's your take on the Yankees?
Well, I like the Yankees a lot, and I like them, of course, a whole lot more moving forward from here once they get some of those great young kids, some of whom are already there, but once Gleyber Torres gets healthy and arrives. And then, of course, they're going to go into the free agent market after next season. So I think it's remarkable what Brian Cashman has done, basically rebuilt that team while keeping them not only in contention, but getting them to the playoffs a couple of times during all this. And it's very, very impressive what they're doing. But I think the best is yet to come for the Yankees. And I think by 2019, they could be really, really good.
Tim, you know, you even look at the injuries to the Cleveland Indians and what they've done with this streak from a, you know, historical perspective. How amazing is this, and how dangerous are they now to the Astros and to win the World Series?
The Indians are remarkable. I had something yesterday, and I'll just have to update it, but the point serves. They had outscored their opponents by 81 runs in the first 15 games of this winning streak. Now it's 86 runs. So the last team to have any sort of run differential like that over any 15-game period was the 1939 Yankees, who are one of the greatest teams of all time and have the largest run differential, plus 411, of any season in history. That's the company that the Indians are in. So their run differential now for the last 16 games is plus 86, and only 8 teams have a higher run differential for the season than the Indians have in their last 16 games, meaning they're not just beating you, they are pounding you in one-sided games. They've scored 25 runs in the first inning of the last 16 games. The Dodgers have scored 40 runs in their last 16 games total. It's amazing how good the Indians have been, and to me, it puts them front and center as the best team in the American League, and maybe, who knows, the best team in baseball as we get towards October.
And their payroll is low. I mean, that's the other thing that's amazing is that when Frank Kona got there, it's basically the same guys, right, Tim? I mean, does this really say a lot about his managing ability?
Well, he's a great manager. He handles people about as well as anyone I've ever seen in a baseball uniform. And that's what managing is all about today. How am I going to get the best out of that guy over there? And what button do I have to press to get the best out of that guy over there? But what they've done, he's gotten a lot of help from the front office. Of course, they signed Edwin Encarnacion in the offseason. He gives them that bat in the middle that they absolutely had to have. And Francona told me a story about 2 weeks ago where he walked past Chris Antonetti, club president, and said, "When are we getting Jay Bruce?" And he was just kidding. He was just kidding. And the next day they got Jay Bruce, which is how it's been working lately for the Indians.
And how about the Red Sox? Does David Price come back? Do they put anything together to put a serious run in, or are they just kind of the JV team behind Cleveland and Houston in the American League?
And the Yankees.
Yeah.
They're better than the JV. They're way better than the JV. But some things have to happen here. First off, they're going to have to keep scoring some runs here. David Price is going to have to come back and help them. But to me, that's an enormous, enormous if right now. And Chris Sale, of course, has to be the dominant pitcher that he was the first 4 months, not the guy who's labored a little bit here lately. So I don't put them at the moment in the same class with the Indians or the Astros once the Astros get their rotation straightened out. But this is baseball, fellas. You know how this works. We get to October. There are no guarantees. Anything could happen. And usually does in baseball.
Chris Sale's going to blow by his career his career record in terms of innings pitched. Is that a concern, you think, going down the stretch?
I don't think so. I think he's, despite his really slender body, is very durable. He rarely gets hurt. He's always around. I think the worry for me, and I think it's stated statistically, is his career ERA in September is a run higher than the second highest ERA in any month of his career. It's almost to 4 in September for his career, which implies he slows down, he gets tired, something, I don't know. But not only do they need him to be great for the last 3 weeks, but when they get to October, they're going to need him to be at his best. And I think there's a question then, can he handle a full season when he's never really pitched in the postseason before? So this should be an interesting situation with Chris Sale.
You talk about the Dodgers and their struggles offensively. Do the Arizona Diamondbacks, have they done enough to potentially leapfrog the Dodgers and even the Nationals in the National League?
Yes, I think they're a very dangerous team right now. Now, personally, I think the Dodgers will be the best team in the National League going into the playoffs. I think they're going to straighten this out. I think the Nationals are right there. I think the Cubs, if they win the division, and I think they will, are going to be right there also. But to count out the Diamondbacks now would be a mistake. 13 games in a row. That's ridiculous. They went 10 games in a row without trailing. And they went 58 straight innings with a lead. I mean, those things just don't happen normally. They have a really good starting rotation with Zach Greinke and with Robbie Ray. Ray has 4 10-strikeout games against the Dodgers this year alone. That's stunning. So they're in a very good position offensively. J.D. Martinez has changed the look of that lineup. And I think they're a very dangerous team going into the National League playoffs. But let's face it, that NL playoff especially is going to be really, really good.
And how about, even though there's a couple of weeks to go here, your Cy Young and MVP leaders in the clubhouse right now?
Well, it's very tricky in the American League because it changes by the day. But I think Corey Kluber has moved into the lead for the AL Cy Young. The AL MVP for me at the moment is Jose Altuve, but as always, we have to wait till the end of the season. As for the National League, again, it's tricky, but I'll take Max Scherzer as the Cy Young in the National League at the moment, and the MVP is so up in the air. I don't even know where to go there. There are seven guys that could make a legitimate case for the MVP. I think Giancarlo Stanton is the leader, but we have to see how the last 3 weeks play out. And it's going to be one of the closest MVP votes ever, I think.
We are talking to ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirchen here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. Tim, we only have a couple minutes left with you. I have to ask this question, though. Earlier this week, there was big news where the Red Sox were stealing signs. It looks like through an iWatch with the Yankees a couple weeks ago, and the Red Sox were accusing the Yankees of stealing signs going through the Yes Network. Stealing signs has been a part of baseball forever, but it's usually done on the field. What's your take and what's your feeling when it comes to something like this? And if the Red Sox were cheating, if the Yankees were cheating, what should happen in your opinion?
Well, they need to be punished because even though sign stealing is an integral part of the game, a fun part of the game, a fascinating part of the game, you have to do it without the use of electronics. Otherwise, it's cheating and you're going to get punished for it. So I think there'll be fines, maybe a couple small suspensions, and baseball telling teams, we're not going to put up with this. But let's not be naive about this, fellas. Players are finding any way possible to steal a sign from the other team. There are guys watching those games in video rooms and running information out to the dugout all the time. And even though this doesn't, you know, take away from what the Red Sox did, it just seems like they cut out the middleman, saved themselves a few seconds by doing it through an Apple Watch. But at the same time, it's illegal, and they got caught, and baseball can't allow that to happen.
Tim, you're the best. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Okay, guys. See
you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tim.
Tim Kirchen, ESPN baseball analyst. We love talking to Tim, and he's so very kind guy, so it was very good to talk to him. He really is the best.
He's a pro. Some of those stats that he starts just filtering out there, that's why he's the best at what he does.
If you remember, we had him on a while ago, and he told us on the air that he had kept every stat of every, I think it was almost every game for like 30 years. He had just stacks and stacks of notebooks of every stat. He really is a wealth of knowledge. And listen, you know, this baseball season is crazy. And no matter how special Cleveland looks today, no matter how great the Arizona Diamondbacks look today or whoever's red hot, when the playoffs start, it's really about who's in front of you. And that's what's so great about baseball is it's really hard to predict. There's no question. So whoever gets in, you always have a shot.
But how is that any different than who's in front of you right now in the regular season? Like with the Red Sox beating a really bad Tampa Bay team that you mentioned earlier.
You're annoying.
Yes.
You really are annoying. Jamie, he's annoying. But I'll say one thing. If the Arizona Diamondbacks want to win, they got to change those uniforms. Those are the worst uniforms in baseball.
Come on.
The Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm just saying. They may win 16, 20 in a row. I don't care. They got some bad uniforms. All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, I saw something that was really upsetting to me this morning. I'm going to tell you all about it.
Worse than the dog?
A lot worse than the dog. Close. It's a tie. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
You know, I swore, I didn't know if I should bring this up on the air, but I have to. I need to know if this is an epidemic. I need to know this because I don't have this issue. I'm not going to tell you where I was. I'm not going to tell you the time of day. I'm not going to tell you the type of car. I'm not going to tell you the type of gender of the person that I saw.
But it was this morning.
Yeah, it was this morning. I was coming in here this morning, and I was coming to a stoplight. And I always look behind me when I'm at a stoplight because...
Mirror, or do you turn and look?
No, in the mirror.
Oh, okay.
I want to make sure that the person coming isn't, like, bearing down. I want to be able to be ready. And I see this vehicle come up, and there is a person in it. And they get close, and I see that the person is... And if you're eating breakfast right now, I'm sorry, but they're picking their nose. Yeah, which is fine. You know, I mean, you know, we all do it. I mean, trust me. And
hey, sometimes you just got to dig for it.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. I'm with you, Jamie. You get it. I mean, it happens. So it's just no problem. I'm not having a hard time. But I go full Caddyshack now. And I'm looking at this person. I'm thinking, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And, you know, people, you ever see that in Caddyshack where they start betting?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, what's the odds? 15 to 1, 14 to 1. All of a sudden, the person.
No, they didn't.
They did. They ate it. And not only did the person eat it, because I was, you know, this is like I'm looking at this person for like 20 seconds and took a bite, looked at it again, took another bite.
Stop it.
Bernie, I'm telling you. So my question is,
you sure?
And I don't. Oh, I'm sure. Now I did not see what came out of the nose. Maybe she had the person had a candy cane up there or something. I don't know. But it went in and I was like, wow. So, but I think it's a reflex. I think for some people it just might be a reflex. So anyway, that's what I'm saying.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
How to make a handkerchief dance?
I do not.
You put a little boogie.
That a boy. Well, this person had the boogie. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but the handkerchief wasn't dancing. No, it wasn't.
And you know what? I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, don't. Because it was like the person was looking at it, and I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Now I start thinking that scene in Caddyshack
where
they're hiding in the bushes, and they're like, you know, the Smales kid.
Yeah. $10 says Smales eats his booger.
That's right. And the people are taking the money. That's what I was doing. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, you did it. I'm like, I got to tell everybody that. But anyway, is it a reflex? Maybe it's a reflex. It just might be. I think that's my thing. And I just don't have the because when it happens to me, I'm like I'm like dry heaving when I see that. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm like trying to get rid of it. Like I'm not looking. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, I got nothing right now.
Yeah, nothing.
We need to be rescued from this segment.
I'm just asking the question. Like, is it a reflex? Maybe it's just a reflex. All right, Jamie, it's time for your Sports Center, pal.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
No, I really am discombobulated.
Yeah, but the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to join the conversation, give us a buzz here at 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. Or if you don't want to call and you want to get your point across, you can just text us at the Town Fair Tire text line.
What was
same
that?
Number. Town Fair Tire text line.
Very good.
Text us at the Town Fair Tire text line. 802-655-6672. 655-6672. Patriots open up the season Thursday. A lot of expectation. There was talk with the Patriots that this team could be undefeated. Team that could just run right through this thing. And the Patriots looked very mortal on Thursday night. Bernie, you know, listen, started the game out, looked really good. Patriots kind of marched down the field, scored very quickly. Kansas City turned the ball over. I think the first time the young kid touched the ball, they turned the ball over. It looked like it was going to just be a Patriot rout. But Kansas City really righted the ship and turned out they kind of blew out the Patriots.
Yeah, it was very interesting game that evolved.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and again, you can never second guess Bill Belichick because he's arguably the greatest coach of all time.
I don't think he's arguing. He argue about it.
You know, you're up 7-0 and you go for it on fourth down instead of just going up 10-0 and maybe potentially having Kansas City have to change their game plan a little bit. I think the injury to Amendola really hurt the Patriots more than we let on, just from again the security for Tom Brady and people that are used to it. And I mean, yeah, they're still going to win the division because their division is terrible. Let's see what happens in February. But I won't lie, there was nobody that was more happier to see the Patriots lose than this guy.
Well, I will say this about the Patriots. I would never go on a limb and say that the Patriots look like they're done.
They're going to be fine.
Because they will be fine. But some things that make you a little bit nervous is offensively, the Patriots don't look like they have those weapons anymore. Like, I don't look at I mean, Brandon Cooks is a good wide receiver, and he had a good couple years with what he did in New Orleans. But playing for the Patriots is a little bit different. The Amendola injury is a big injury, but I don't think there's a bigger injury than the Edelman injury. Oh. I mean, the Edelman injury, I wasn't sure if that would really affect them as much as it did. And, you know, you look at what they're doing on the offensive end of the ball, and you think, wow, I mean, people were saying, well, Brady wasn't very accurate, but, I mean, he doesn't have anybody. I mean, those are small targets. You know, there's not a lot there. Their running game wasn't great. You know, they were pressuring him.
Is Kansas City that good?
Very, very possibly they could be that good. But I think I think this is a concern if you're the Patriots. You're not throwing the white flag yet.
No.
And freaked out. But on the defensive end, if the linebacker
Hightower
is out, you know, that their defense looks very suspect. So yes, they're very lucky they play in the AFC East. I think when you look at who they're going, who they match up with, at least with Buffalo and New York, you think that they're going to be fine. But Miami's got a good football team, and the Patriots.
Miami has Jay Cutler.
They
as
do.
Their quarterback.
They do, but they've got a very good defense. They've got some weapons, and they've got one of the best running backs in football. So
Jay Cutler, Tom Brady.
No comparison. I'm not comparing Jay Cutler and Tom Brady, but I think Miami will challenge the Patriots. But I don't know if it's that cut and dry for the Pats right now. There are real question marks in New England.
Yeah, I understand your question. I just don't agree with you. I just think the division's over. I'm not worried about that. I think there are questions for the Patriots. I think the biggest thing is now with these injuries, you know, I don't think they use Gronk as much as I thought they would, especially, you know, after Edelman and then Amendola getting dinged up. I think, you know, that offense just needs to practice more. There has to be that trust and understanding that Brady has to get with these, you know, with Hogan and Cooks and those guys as the wide receivers to get that timing and that rhythm down. And you know, that relationship with Edelman was built over years.
That's very true. And there was a really good point made by the broadcasters late in that game that they did say, like, you know, a lot of these guys, at least the starters, they don't play a lot. Like,
right.
They're so concerned about injury that they're not playing. So when you get in this and you're asking to play four quarters, number one, they're not able to stay on the field because their bodies aren't necessarily ready for this kind of, you know,
as great a shape as they're in.
Sure. I mean, they're not in game shape. They're not in game shape yet. That is a great point. But, and again, and you are right. I mean, I will say that Hogan's on my fantasy team. I was very disappointed that he only got me 3 points. I thought for sure that guy'd give me at least 10, 16 points.
Well,
but anyway, that's personal.
He will become the next guy if Amendola, the concussion.
Well, regardless of whether Amendola's there or not, he's going to have to be the next guy. But I would just say the Patriots right now, I just don't know. When you look at a guy like Gronkowski, all of a sudden you think to yourself when you look at the Patriots, I feel like I can match up with these guys one-on-one and we can double Gronkowski. I mean, there's nobody for the exception. I guess Cooks has got that breakaway speed possibility, but, you know, I don't know if Cooks is a difference maker yet. I think Amendola's a very good wide receiver, but these guys aren't. It's going to be interesting to see. And Brady's 40. I mean, everybody, you know, he's been Superman and he does so many amazing things, but he's 40 years old. I mean, there's got to be a point in time when, you know, it's going to turn, right?
You would think, but, you know, again, he's been so good for so long.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady's great. I'm not saying that he's not going to happen, but there's got to be. When I saw the Patriots lose against Kansas City a couple years ago, remember when everybody in Boston was freaking out? Remember the big blowout down there? I still was like, stop.
Right.
They're fine. I mean, look at this football. Look at the names in this football team. Look at what's happened. They're going to be totally fine.
You don't feel that way now?
I don't look at them and think, wow. I thought the same thing going into this season as well. I mean, especially when Edelman got hurt, I thought, there's this team. They're still talking about undefeated, and this is going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. I look at teams in the AFC, like you look at Pittsburgh, you know, you look at, I think Houston's going to be a better football team. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Houston.
I think Houston's
going to be quarterback.
I'm saying they're going to be a better football team, good defense. I think when you look at, Kansas City Chiefs are a great football team. I mean, Raiders are a great football team. Tough loss with Barry.
Eric Barry being out. The Raiders are dinged up a little more defensively than people think.
But you look at the rosters and you're looking at like who the Raiders are rolling out there, and even losing Barry for Kansas City, that front four that Kansas City has, that defense,
ridiculous.
They feast. So, you know, this is not going to just be the Patriots and somebody from the NFC. I think the Patriots are going to get challenged here, and the roster to me looks like a concern. I guess that's just me. When you're looking at what's happening, I know that over the years, Bernie, we've always said that the Patriots could just roll you and I out there and they'd figure out a way to get it done. It looked like Kansas City, especially in the second half, dominated the Patriots on both ends of the line of scrimmage, and that's something you never see from the New England Patriots.
Right. And, you know, again, I'm not ready to drink that potion.
Sure,
yet.
Sure.
Maybe it's because I don't want to drink it, because I would love to see a lot more ebbs and flows for the Patriots, because everything has been smooth sailing for such a long time because they've done such an unbelievable job.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think the benefit of that division, the extra time that they're going to have now to practice and make things right and get better. It'll be interesting, you know, if they're struggling that bad next week, they have to go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And it's not like the New Orleans offense is chopped liver with Drew Brees and company, so it could be a shootout central.
Well, and I will say this about this, and I'm not ready to put the white flag up yet either, but I'm not saying the Patriots aren't going to win the AFC East, because
right.
I think that would be crazy to say that, but I mean, I don't think Patriot fans, and tell us if I'm wrong, 655-6672, you can do it on the text line as well. I mean, Patriot fans aren't thinking about winning the division. They're thinking about winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, Patriot fans don't go into seasons thinking, okay, if you need to make the playoffs, like you and I go in and say we'd like to make the playoffs with the Giants. I mean, it's fun to be a Patriot fan. This is weird if you're a Patriot fan. I'm jealous of Patriot fans. This is the mentality they have. But I don't think they, I mean, again, I'm not going to get freak out on week one, but when you look at these teams and you look at this team, there's got to be some concern.
Do you think that this loss is a good thing in terms of getting rid of all that conversation of undefeated and running the table, all the comparisons? Now it's, okay, we kind of took it on the chin. We got to lock in and refocus. Does it help kind of bring everything back together when you have been so good for so long to have a humbling moment like this?
I mean, it's a good question. I think if you're talking about a team like maybe this New York Giants football team that's been talking a lot, you know, a team that needs maybe...
Well, they shouldn't be.
Well, exactly. But I mean, a team like the Giants, a team like Dallas, you know, a team that has expectation but hasn't done it yet. Maybe that would be good for a team like that. But for the Patriots, I don't know. And I don't worry about the loss per se. I kind of felt like Kansas City could go in and win. I didn't think that was something that was so far-fetched, but it was kind of how Kansas City beat them. They ran the ball down their throats, Bernie.
Late,
they were able
late.
To get. Well, not well. I mean, the guy rushed for. I mean, those running backs were running all over him, and they and Alex Smith connected on a lot of deep passes when the Patriots were leading. So, I mean, there were a lot of things that happened in New England in that game that make you think, "Ooh, this isn't supposed to happen here with the Patriots." So, I'm less concerned about the quote unquote loss. I'm more concerned about how they lost and how they match up, and I think that's the biggest concern for me.
On the way in this morning, listening to Mel Kiper and Dari, and they had Chris Mortensen on, and they said a lot of what Kansas City did offensively was kind of blueprinted as to what the Atlanta Falcons did in the early parts of the game. So a lot of those same things that were exposed in the Super Bowl were exposed in week one as well. So it'll be an interesting blueprint to follow to see if New Orleans does that next week and down the line. But, you know, if I would have told you that the winner of the Bills-Jets game on Sunday would be in first place in the American League, AFC East tomorrow.
It's pretty funny.
What could we have bet on that one?
That would have been a good... Well, I mean, you know, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, can you imagine waking up? Well, it's going to happen. They're going to be
Could you imagine
top.
You know, the Jets being in first place come Monday?
Right. There's a great article in the New York Post that said, you know, the only thing in the way of the Jets in first place is the Buffalo Bills. That was a big article this morning in the New York Post. Pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, listen, the Patriots, I'm sure, will be fine. But again, there's got to be concern. And if you're a Patriots fan, are you concerned? I mean, I would be if just watching the way it went down. It wasn't like you just went out there and got beat up and you were on the road and the crowd was tough and, you know, you got snowballed a little bit. This was at home. I mean, this is a big loss.
But I start to play into all the other things that distract you from the task at hand. The ceremony for the championship. Goodell being there. At home.
These are the New England Patriots, Bernie.
It does.
This is Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. This is Gronkowski. I mean,
but these are a lot of guys that haven't been there and done that are playing bigger roles.
Now, you might be right.
I think it's harder now to win a big game at home because of the distractions versus being on the road and being able to channel in.
And you might be right, and I think the Patriots will probably go on there. Now everyone will pick New Orleans next week.
You're going to pick New Orleans next week.
I might. I'll have to do some research, though.
Well, we got to see what happens on.
I want to pay attention. I got to read about, you know, I got to see who's hurt, who's not hurt. You know, when I make my picks, Bernie, like, I take my time.
No, you don't.
Of course I do.
Okay.
I study.
Yes.
I look at, I want to see.
Are you mocking
me? I'm not mocking you at all. You're the mocker, pal. You are the mocker. You put the M in mocker. But anyway, we'll see. I mean, listen, I like I said earlier, you know, I mean, I it was just the way they lost. They were beat on both lines of scrimmage. They didn't look like they were competing. Their wide receivers didn't look like they were competing at all at times. Brady looked like he didn't know where to go. I mean, that was the first time that Tom Brady looked like he didn't exactly know what. I mean, some of the throws he made was like, what is he doing? He looked like Eli, you know, a couple times.
Whoa.
He did.
Whoa.
He did. Yeah, a couple
he
times.
Wasn't that good.
That's a good point. Anyway, we are going to make our picks. By the way, next segment, we're going to pick every football game, and we'll see who's done their homework, Byrne.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we're going to make our next segment.
I got the Chiefs.
You got the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Okay, you're running. No, I picked the Patriots.
Okay.
I almost, you know, I'm in this big pool every year, you know, every week you pick.
Oh, yeah.
And I had them circled. But last year, I finished like middle of the pack because I always picked up, since I tried to be smarter than everybody else. Like, I wanted to be the one that shocked everybody, and I never won any of those. So, of course, I didn't pick the
Jeff, Kansas. The number one rule in extracurricular activities like this is go with your head and not with your heart.
No, I agree. Well, I wasn't going with my heart with any of it. I'm just going with what I believed was going to happen.
So that's
in your heart. New England,
instead
you know,
of using your head.
Edelman's out. You know, Kansas City's got a lot to prove. Yeah, I'm talking about. I'm thinking about. I was being
right.
Logical.
So you just said everybody's talking logical. About New England.
Yeah,
Edelman's
that's not
England,
my heart.
So why wouldn't
that's
you?
My head.
Why wouldn't you pick the Chiefs?
Because I'm telling. Right, exactly. Because it was the Patriots at home opening night. I never. It's hard to pick against Brady and Belichick. I just never do, unless they're playing the Giants, of course.
Just in the Super Bowl.
Yes, Super Bowl. Right. No, and there's a big regular season the year they won the Super Bowl. That was a great game. I was at Mohegan Sun watching that. That was awesome game. Yeah. Remember that game? Giants Patriots middle of the season. I think it was like
when the Giants won in New England.
That was some win. I remember that game. That was a great win. There are certain games you remember, and I remember that one specifically.
Now, who was the tight end who had the big game?
Jake Ballard.
Yes.
Now, he was like his coming out party, and he made the big catch at the end. But I feel bad for that guy because he got hurt in the Super Bowl, I think.
Right. That was
it. But he ended up playing for the Patriots like a year later, I think, Jake Ballard. But then he wasn't himself.
Like for a week.
But remember, the concern going into that season was that the Giants didn't have a tight end. Like, what are they going to do? They didn't bring anybody in. Shockey had left. I think Bennett had just left. Marcellus Bennett had just left. And so what are they going to do? They bring in this Jake Ballard, and he was awesome. Yeah,
wonderful.
Great year.
Wonderful.
It was a great year. You're not really intrigued with this conversation?
No, not really.
Feeling this
not
conversation.
Really.
You just kind of like thinking.
Yeah, like next.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back,
What?
I mean, we're doing a radio show. At least act like you're interested in what I'm talking about, like one time.
I've done it a lot today, just not right now.
You've been faking it the whole show? Typical.
Easy.
Anyway, NFL games. We're going to pick every single one of them next segment and get your questions in soon. You can text us on the text line. We are talking to Jake Kenton in the segment after this, fantasy football. I got like 30 questions for him. So if you want to put one in there, you better get in there soon. We'll be right back.
This is my favorite show.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, I love it. Don't stop. Okay, stop. We got plenty.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Hope your weekend's going great so far. I know mine is. Haven't been in the station in a long time, Bernie. It's good to be back with you, my brother.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. I mean, you're out on assignment, getting the job done for everybody. Yeah. So, you know.
Out on assignment. That's good. So what Bernie and I do every football season, if you've listened to our show, we've been on for like over three years, man. That it's gone by fast.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does. But Bernie and I pick games every single Saturday, get you ready for your football fix. So we're going
to start. So don't listen to us.
Yeah, it's probably not smart to listen to us because week one's always the toughest week. Am I right? I mean, you just.
I think it's
the
easiest.
No, it's not. You don't. Because you're basing everything on last season. This is a new season, man. You know, you got to see something. But I think we're going to do our best. And I think this week, you and I will have it down for everybody. So let's cue that music, Jamie. And we're going to start picking some football here. All right. First game I've got here, we're going to do Oakland at Tennessee. The Oakland Raiders, a Super Bowl favorite, a team that people think can really take that next step if they can stay healthy. Tennessee's an up-and-coming football team and a team that's going to surprise some people this year. Who do you got, big fella?
I love Tennessee in this game. I think that Oakland's defense is a little dinged up, and I'm in love with Marcus Mariota. I think he has a coming out year.
I agree with you that I think Tennessee is going to be a surprise this season. They've got a lot of weapons for Mariota this year. I love the running situation they have with DeMarco Murray. He's a great football player. I love the fact they're playing at home, but I think Oakland's got something going on. I think Carr is going to be out there to prove something. I think Oakland goes on the road and wins. I got Oakland, you got Tennessee.
Two starting quarterbacks coming off gruesome injuries end their seasons last year, and an injury that potentially could have kept the Raiders out of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, really. Well, definitely an injury that kept the Raiders from even moving on because they were a different football team without him. All right, next game, we have the New York Jets getting ready to take on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. The winner is in first place in the AFC East. As the Patriots have lost last week. New York Jets, there's a lot of talk that not only could they not win a lot of games, I mean not win a game at all. Been a very difficult offseason for them, obviously difficult with what's happening with them in their preseason. But they're going to take on a Buffalo team that is also rebuilding. But a football team's got a veteran quarterback there. So, Bernie, who do you got?
Well, you know, you got Belial Powell. You got Matt Forte. You got a defensive line that, made a good trade. Get some draft picks, a wide receiver. I'll take the Bills.
I'm taking the Bills with you as well. I think at home, the Bills would win. I think if it was in New York, the Jets have a shot here, but I'll take the Bills.
Well, it is in New York.
Well, it's in Buffalo,
New York. Then it'd be in New Jersey.
Yeah, right. Good cake. Okay, thanks for straightening me out.
Well, I mean,
the Pittsburgh Steelers are heading on the road to take on the Cleveland Browns. Last year, the quarterback was playing quarterback for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now you got Deshaun Kizer, rookie, is going to be playing quarterback for the Browns. We know what the Pittsburgh Steelers have. You've got Ben Roethlisberger. They've got the great running game. They've got the vaunted wide receivers out there. Great, great team. But Cleveland's an up and coming football team. What do you think happens now?
I think Cleveland's going in the right direction, and the guy Peppers is unreal.
He is.
He's going to be special. Yep. It'll be a fun game to watch, but they're just not ready to take down the Steelers.
You're probably right. I'm going to take the Steelers as well, but I will tell, interesting, Ben Roethlisberger's winning percentage on the road is not very good. The way he plays at home is spectacular, but if you look at the stats, he plays very poorly on the road, but I can't imagine the Steelers going into Cleveland week one and losing, so I'll take the Steelers as well. Baltimore and Cincinnati. Cincinnati is now healthy, a football team last year that had a lot of expectation going in, a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, but with all the injuries that they had, that went away. Baltimore, you know, I don't know what's happening with Baltimore. Flacco is back, which is going to be important for them. But you got Baltimore-Cincinnati, a rivalry game. It'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, within the division, I'm going to trust Big Red and Andy Dalton, and I'll take the Bengals.
I'm with you there. I'm taking the Bengals as well. Here we go next. Arizona and Detroit. I think Arizona is a better football team than people give them credit for. Detroit seems to be down, but they always play well in their dome. And I got to say one thing. Their quarterback, Matthew Stafford, he's making the bucks now, so we're going to see if he earns that. You've got the Cardinals and the Lions. At the Lions, Bernie, who do you got?
Well, I hate to say it. I agree with you, Jeff. I think Arizona's very underrated, kind of flying under the radar, you know, struggled a little bit last year. I think they're really good, and I think they go in the dome and get a win.
I think Arizona's an up-and-coming team. I think they're going to be a team that's going to be in there in the end, but I think Detroit upsets this football team this week. I think it's going to be tough for Carson Palmer to go into Detroit. I think Detroit's going to got a few weapons. Matthew Stafford's going to want to show that he's worth all the money that Detroit just spent on him. I'm going to pick the Lions to beat the Cardinals at home. Atlanta heads to Chicago. Atlanta, are they still reeling from the Super Bowl debacle? Letting Tom Brady bring this team all the way back and beat them last season. They go on the road to play the Chicago Bears, who just cut Victor Cruz. What's up with that? Who do you got, Atlanta and Chicago?
You know, I want to take Chicago in this one, but I just don't think the Super Bowl hangover applies here, and I think Atlanta rolls.
I would absolutely take Chicago if it was January, because you know it'll be 35 below zero. You know Matt Ryan doesn't want to play
in
that.
Like in Vermont right now?
Yeah, I know, really. It's been so terrible here weather-wise. But next week, my friends, going to be in the mid-70s. I'm really looking forward to that. I agree with you, man. I think Atlanta rolls. Chicago is definitely a team that I think has some upside. They got a rookie quarterback, team, you know.
My Pollock from North Carolina.
There he is. He's going to be behind center for you, but I think Atlanta goes in and gets the job done. Jacksonville is heading to Houston, a Houston team that you know is going to play with a lot of emotion with what just happened down there with the hurricane. What J.J. Watt has done is just unbelievable, yes, what he's done for that community. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that every year we seem to think is going to be the team that's going to make that step forward. Tom Coughlin is now involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think it's going to be a rough one for them at Houston.
Oh, I disagree. My man Leonard Fournette, Tom Coughlin, Jacksonville comes in, gets the win.
You're so wrong. Houston's going to win that one. Philadelphia and Washington.
Who cares next?
No, man. It's hard to pick either of these.
You're going
to
make me pass. Can I pick a tie?
Philadelphia as at Washington. A Philadelphia team with some expectation this year. Carson Wentz, second season. Washington is going to give the ball again to Kirk Cousins. We know Washington can put some points on the board. Philly looks like a better team as well. Who do you got this week, Bernie?
Oh, Jeff.
The tough one.
Where's this game again?
It's in Washington. Philly will probably wear the whites.
Okay.
Washington will probably wear the red.
All right.
That matters. It matters to my wife, usually.
Yeah, I know. Let me guess. I guess if I had to take someone, I'll take the Redskins.
All right. So the Philadelphia guy, you got the Redskins. It's a tough pick because I think Philadelphia is better than Washington, but I'll take the home team as well. I'll take the Redskins. That's not going to make a good friend of mine very happy, but nothing I say usually makes him happy.
Do we make anybody happy?
No, not usually. Okay. Not usually. Anybody in our life? Do we make anybody
happy? No, not really.
Not usually. Okay. Yeah. Indianapolis goes on the road to play the L.A. Rams. I think a Rams football team that's got a lot to prove. Jared Goff's got another year under his belt, and I think the running back has got to prove something as well. Indianapolis, I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't think Andrew Luck's even going to play in this football game.
He is not.
He is not. So Indy goes across the country. Who do you got?
For Dave Hunter and those sweet L.A. Rams and those helmets and his cheerleaders, I got the Rams.
I got them, too, because they're running backs on my fantasy team. So let's go Rams. I got
which one? Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley, baby. I'm all in. No, I think it's going to be a big year because I picked them. Seattle is at Green Bay. Pretty big matchup for week one. The Seattle Seahawks are heading on the road to play Green Bay. Not a lot of people are talking about Green Bay. I mean, there's still that, obviously, Aaron Rodgers.
They're playing for the second place in the NFC behind the Giants,
That's
right?
A good point. That's a heck of a good point. So anyway, Seattle's on the road to play Green Bay. Who do you got?
I think Green Bay at home is tremendous. It's an unbelievable facility. I have questions about their defense, so I'm going to take Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle looks like the team that's going to be pretty hungry to play, but it's hard for me to go.
Especially with that guy from the Jets now that they got in the trade to help anchor their
Richardson. Yes. That's definitely going to help them, but it's hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers week one in Green Bay. I'm going to take the Packers. Carolina's Homer. Heading to San Francisco. Carolina, a team that was in the Super Bowl two years ago, and a team that didn't make the playoffs last season. Cam Newton's healthy. They've got they got McCaffrey at red running back. Kelvin Benjamin's back. I think this is going to be a good football team. They're going to play San Francisco.
Ah, you're still in the thunder, my friend. I totally agree with you, and that's twice in this segment, and that's not healthy for us. I think Carolina is, as much as I hate to say it, is a bounce-back team in the NFC. I think Cam Newton has a huge year, and the two guys you mentioned, McCaffrey and Benjamin, are the two main cogs. And, you know, you're mixing a little Greg Olsen and Jonathan Stewart. That's a dangerous team. And I like Carolina.
I'm with you. Carolina goes on the road and wins. I agree with that. Giants are New York football. Giants are heading to Dallas. You know what we think about the Giants. Dallas is a team that people seem to think is going to win the NFC. It's one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. But the Big Blue Wrecking Crew is going to Dallas. Who do you got, buddy?
Oh, wow.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Here we go, Jamie. This is when Bernie sits back and goes, we stink. We're not good.
Yeah, he's going to totally try and break this down from every angle.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
It's a no contest.
Right.
Giants.
Dallas wins.
Giants. Dallas wins?
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, tell me why.
I just think that, the offensive line will struggle. I still am not a believer in the linebacking core of the Giants. I know they're good, and I know they're getting better. I personally, it's kind of like Edelman, Belichick, those type of things. I'm thinking about that. I don't have that belief. And I think Dallas is very good. If the Giants can hold the line and do some things offensively, and with Odell Beckham, that changes the whole thing. I think there's too many question marks. Cowboys win at home.
I think the Giants are going to get this job done. I'll tell you why I think they're going to get it done. I think the Giants go on the road and win for two reasons. Number one, the Giants always play well down there. Number two, that Dallas defense is not what it was a year ago. I think this Giant, well, can I kind of make my point? Because you're getting ready to just let it go on me, aren't you? Just getting ready. You just can't help it. You just don't want me to have any kind of point. You got to jump right in there, Burn. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, you were going to. I saw it coming. Anyway, this Giant football team has a chance, and this Giant defense is fast, strong, and quick. I have complete faith in the linebackers, complete faith in the offense and the front. I don't think Dallas can run the ball. I think the Giants have a shutdown cornerback, and I think the Giants make enough plays to get the job done in Big D.
And I love the confidence, and I'm glad you're picking
here
him,
I am.
But I have one question.
Go ahead.
You don't like our quarterback.
I like
so you don't believe that he'll get the job done.
I did not say that. I just said I think with the defense, the way they have the ability to play.
If the offensive line can do their job, then the quarterback has to make plays, and you have questions about his ability to make plays.
I absolutely do, but I think if the New York Giant defense does its job against this Dallas offense, which I think it will do, I think the Giants will make enough plays to win the football game. That's my point.
What if Odell doesn't play?
The Giants have a lot of weapons offensively. I'm telling you, Giants are going to be okay. I'm telling you, they're going to win. I'm just saying it. I'm putting it out there right now.
Man,
you've had a
scary morning between the dog and what you saw in your rearview mirror.
Between what I saw and what I smelled.
You're still in a haze.
That is a good point. I really am in a haze. Anyway, our two Monday night football games, we have New Orleans at Minnesota. Interesting matchup, I think. New Orleans. What's great about this is Adrian Peterson, who's now playing for the Saints, heads back home to take on the Vikings. What do you got?
Great drama right there. I got the rookie of the year, Dalvin Cook, for Minnesota with the Vikings in a win.
Interesting, because this is really, for me, this is a push. I think New Orleans has a team that can score points, but Minnesota has got something to prove after last season. I think it's going to be important. I think Minnesota wants to show that they made the right decision not bringing AP back. I think Minnesota wins as well. All right, and finally, the last game of the first week of the season at 10:20 Monday night. We've got the Los Angeles Chargers. It's so hard for me to say. The Los Angeles Bolts on the road to play the Denver Broncos. Who do you got?
Well, one thing I got is that on tape delay because 10:20 on Monday night. I got no shot to stay up for that.
Not a chance.
And I got the Bolts to win and win easily.
The Bolts go into Denver and win that football game? You are out of your collective mind, my friend. The Denver Broncos take care of business with the Bolts. It's not going to happen. I think Denver...
Can't wait to play this segment back on Saturday after the Red Sox win.
Here we go with your Red Sox. Always got to... the funny thing about you is you don't want to talk about the Red Sox when they lose the day before we get
you didn't
to
want
the show.
To talk about the Yankees when they
I
lost
I always want to talk about the Yankees. Okay. I'm always right about the Yanks. I've painted a wonderful picture for the Yankees.
Like Tim Kirchin, 2019.
Yeah, he's right about that. They're going to be great in the future. But my point to Tim Kirchin earlier was this team this year is driving me crazy because even with all the rookies and all the injuries and all the problems they've had, if they just didn't blow these games, these 23, if they just blew half of them, they'd be like 10 up on your beloved Red Sox. It's annoying. I know. I'm not crying. I'm annoyed. This is my annoyed face.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm annoyed. Anyway, so those are your picks for this week, week one. The next thing we have to talk about, next segment. Look at me. So you got me all discombobulated now.
Yes.
I'm all screwed up.
I've done it.
I'm all screwed up. This is my day. This is the way my day goes. It's not going to be good. Jake Kent joins us next. Get your fantasy football questions ready. Because he's going to help you win a championship. He's helped me for the last 2 years. Two-time champion, big fella. You're looking at him.
Illegal.
We'll be right back. Already.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
I'm just very, very sorry that it's come to this. I mean, it's just terrible.
Good morning, everybody. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki riding shotgun with me this morning. Jamie Dennis filling in for Dave Hunter, doing a phenomenal job, by the way.
He's killing it.
He is, isn't he? It's like he's hitting he's already batting 1,000.
Yes.
I mean, I can't even
unlike
mock
the Yankees
sports
last night.
Right, the Yankees. No, the Yankees' bats were all right last night. So their pitching was terrible last night.
Okay.
But we're not talking about that now, Bert.
Oh, that's right.
It's time to get my fantasy football ready because I'm about to win my back-to-back-to-back championship.
It's more cheating than the Yankees and
cheating.
Red Sox.
It is not cheating.
It is not cheating. Yes, it is.
It is completely not cheating. Okay. I'm going to let this person explain why. On the TikTok Jewish guest line, our fantasy football guru, the man, the myth, the legend, the great Jake Kent joins us. Jake, good morning, my friend.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. So, can you please tell Bernie that I'm not cheating when I just ask for advice once in a while? Like, hey, you know,
the consumption of information is a key component to any fantasy championship.
Thank you very much.
How much consumption of information does the back-to-back champion ask for on a weekly basis?
Listen, it's just like me opening up.
Who reads the most wins? That's
thank you very is. Much.
Oh,
I appreciate
please.
That.
I read a lot in high school, and I never graduated first in my class.
Well, you do have to retain information too, but that's
good fair
point.
Enough.
All right, Jake, let's get right into this, pal. And if you want to join this conversation, ask Jake questions. Give us a buzz at 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. We have Jake on here for the next 12 minutes. If you want to figure out the last-minute move you got to make your fantasy football team and give them the best chance to win, give us a buzz. Or you can send it to the text line at our Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Jake, I'm going to start with this one. I think this week it's interesting for me personally. I'm going to ask this question. I've got Russell Wilson and I've got Ben Roethlisberger. Getting ready to play quarterback for me. Who do I pick this week?
Yeah, I'm probably going Russell Wilson. The Packers secondary just really has struggled year to year. And as a whole, when we look at predictive analytics, one of the things that really carries over is positional groups as a whole from year to year. So when you have a team who struggles as an entire positional group, it's nearly impossible to improve that from year to year, much less in week one. So I fully anticipate this game to be a shootout. I'm all over this game. For those who play daily fantasy, I think this game is going overlooked a little bit. The Packers are going overlooked since it's Seattle. But I bet both these teams are going to have to come out and throw a lot. So I'm rolling with Wilson, especially with Big Ben on the road in a game that could be a blowout very quickly. Le'Veon Bell may just end up carrying the ball 30 times and shutting things down for Big Ben and Antonio Brown. So, yeah, I'm rolling with Russell Wilson here.
Do you expect Todd Gurley to have a kick bounce back here?
You know, I kind of do. You know, as I said about positional groups, it's very difficult to change from year to year, but that team has done everything they can to do exactly that. They've replaced so many pieces and components and have really at least stated that they're going to be really committed to getting him as many touches as they can in the offensive plan. So if, in fact, he's going to be getting more touches, and if, in fact, they have improved at all, and it would be hard not to have improved at all from where they were last year, I do think he's a guy who can have a good year, especially this week. If you have him, he's a guy I'd love to start this week against the Colts, who are just absolutely terrible, especially with the guys they're missing from injury. They're really bad. So if you need a guy who typically, I mean, if you have him, you're probably playing him anyway, I hope. But just to reconfirm, yeah, I think this week definitely, and I think he is going to have a better year.
Jake, in a PPR league flex position, LeGarrette Blount or John Brown?
John Brown for me. So Arizona is a team I love this week. Going to Detroit, and I don't know if people really pay attention that much to Arizona. Overall, you know, we're only a year removed from Carson Palmer being a top five fantasy quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald might have the best matchup in the entire league this week. The guy who plays corner for the Lions, whose name escapes me at the moment, just absolutely one of the worst in the entire league. So I think they're going to come out and they're going to sling the ball around. So John Brown, who in theory is now finally healthy, we waited all last year for him to get healthy. You know, if Larry Fitzgerald, Quandre Diggs, that's the guy's name. Quandre Diggs was, I think, dead last as a slot cornerback last year. If Fitzgerald's going to just run him over the coals, this game could get ugly in a hurry. But we do know that Matt Stafford and those guys will throw the ball and try and keep pace. So this game could get very high scoring very quickly, I think. You know, they're a road favorite, which you got to like. They have a top 10 implied total from Vegas. This game really lines up where if you're looking for a quarterback, you know, who maybe your guy was not in an ideal matchup, you know, something of that nature. Carson Palmer is a guy who really, I think, is probably a top five quarterback this week, and I would include Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown both, and David Johnson for that matter, because he's going to catch the ball so many times this year. That's a game where you can find all sorts of upside. So if you just got smoked by Kareem Hunt, and hopefully, Bernie, remember, the last thing I said to y'all in the last call was, go out and draft Kareem Hunt. This was why. If you got smoked by him Thursday night, your only hope is to find guys with some massive upside. John Brown is one of those guys.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation, ask Jake a question, or you can text us a question at 802-655-6672. We can ask Jake the question for you. Interesting thing I saw the other day, I was flipping through the TV. It was late at night, and it was on the MSG Network, and there was a fantasy show on, Jake, and this guy was complaining that he hates Amari Cooper on his fantasy team. He thinks the real problem that Cooper has is Crabtree, because Crabtree seems to get all the touchdowns. Are you feeling the same way about Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, I would not say I feel that strongly about it. I mean, there's definitely an issue here where Crabtree gets the vast majority of their red zone looks and Cooper just hasn't. Cooper's kind of turning into a mini Julio Jones in that way. I mean, we've talked for years about how Julio Jones never seems to have touchdown upside for whatever reason. Some of that last year was Kyle Shanahan and the running back core they had there. But I think they're going to make a real effort to get him the ball more in the red zone this year, particularly with Latavius Murray having left town. I think they're going to throw a lot more in the red zone than they have previously, so I think it will help his numbers. It's definitely a detriment to him to a degree to have Crabtree so productive in that area, but this really should be the year that Cooper becomes, you know, a top three wide receiver type guy in the league, just behind Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham. You'll start putting him right there, I think, with Julio, Mike Evans, and that whole crew. So while it's frustrating that the touchdown upside hasn't been there, I think we'll see it improve, particularly with, I think they're going to start throwing more in the red zone.
We're going to go to the phones now, Jake. We got a call. Dave from Plattsburgh's on the line. Dave, what's your question, buddy?
Yeah, I got Adrian Peterson this week or Emmanuel Sanders. What's your choice?
Yeah, in a normal week, I would say probably it's Emmanuel Sanders, but is it a PPR league? Do we know? Is he gone?
Dave, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear his question? Is it a PPR league?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, so again, I'm probably just going to roll with the Saints here. You know, in a normal week, the answer is probably Emmanuel Sanders. I don't love the Broncos passing game against the Chargers this week, so I would go Adrian Peterson. Again, anytime you're playing in New Orleans, that they are so productive at home, and they have such a high-scoring, high-flying offense that I think anyone on that squad in Louisiana is good with me. So, yeah, I'd roll Adrian Peterson.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Dave.
How about what do you see in the Oakland-Tennessee game? Could that turn into a, you know, like you talked about, upside a shootout?
Yeah, oh, I think it definitely will be. Yeah, I'd say that's probably, in the world of daily fantasy sports and DraftKings and FanDuel, that's probably, that may be the most highly owned game. There are so many offensive weapons in that game, and just two defenses that, while they have some strength, you know, the Titans are strong up front. I think it's like a 50. I think the over-under is like at 50 or 51, something like that, one of the highest of the week. So I fully anticipate that game being very high scoring, and I think just about everyone's in play. If you look at the Raiders, obviously Crabtree and Cooper are in play. I even like some of their, you know, running backs would be fine with me. And Tennessee, love Eric Decker this week. If he's a guy you drafted as a just in case, as a later round guy you might want to use, I'm okay with rolling Eric Decker out there this week. I'm okay rolling Rishard Matthews out there this week. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry are both in play for me, so I'll take anyone from that game. I really though Vegas can at times not be super accurate, you know, week one and two in particular with their over-unders, that game lines up to be just another super high-scoring game.
We got on the text line with Ezekiel Elliott now playing. Who should I get to replace Darren McFadden?
Yeah, that's tough. You know, it's kind of a bad break for all the DMC drafters out there. So in terms of guys that might be on your waiver wire, you know, it depends on what kind of league you play. And if you play in a 10-man league, you can probably get, like, Rob Kelly from the Washington Redskins might be out there. He's a guy who will be productive. You can try and play the merry-go-round that is the Patriots running game, but I want no part of it. You know, Danny Woodhead is a guy for Baltimore. If it's a non-PPR league, he might be out there. If you think about Jonathan Stewart, you know, a lot of people ignored him this year because of Christian McCaffrey. I think Jonathan Stewart's a guy who might be around, and I think we'll have some very productive weeks, including this week. And then Cincinnati is like a mini New England Patriots in that they have a lot of backs, so we're not really sure how it's going to shake out. Joe Mixon seems to be the guy, but Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard are going to get some runs. So you're going to have to kind of poke around a bit, but if Jonathan Stewart or Rob Kelly is around, I would say that's a place you could go to get some production.
Jake, we only have a couple minutes left here, but give us a couple of players that, you know, that may still be out there that would be good pickups for teams going down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you need, but you know, at quarterback, again, I always talk about not drafting quarterbacks early, so you're kind of doing a week-to-week thing. We're streaming quarterbacks where possible, so we talked about a couple guys, Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford's a guy that I absolutely love this week that you could go out and get and has a fairly friendly schedule moving forward. Carson Palmer could be your guy for the next 4 or 5 weeks based on matchups. And the other place that no one's talking about that, unfortunately, we may have to look to exploit is the Chicago Bears. I mean, because of injury and because of some changes they've made, there's a lot of targets up for grab in Chicago. So Kendall Wright, who, you know, I think had a 1,000-yard receiver, was a 1,000-yard receiver with the Titans a couple years ago, but has kind of disappeared since. Kendall Wright's going to get targets. They say that Kevin White's the guy. They drafted him to be the guy a couple years ago, and he's never really developed. But Kendall Wright's a guy who's got to be available in like 90% of leagues. I think he has some real potential. Again, this week in what probably is going to be a higher scoring game with Atlanta, Kendall Wright's a guy. And actually, for that matter, the guy I love this week at tight end, and I do the same thing I do with quarterbacks. I stream tight ends from week to week. But a guy, again, who there's a lot of target potential is Zach Miller. I'm not hearing anybody talk about Zach Miller. In his last 12 games, in six of them, he had 6-plus catches. So if you play in a PPR league or looking for a tight end with some upside, Zach Miller can be that guy for you in Chicago. And I know it's Chicago and no one's that excited about that offense. But what we're looking for more than anything is targets. And then if you want a better offense with a guy, Paul Richardson, I think is going to be the number two guy in Seattle behind Doug Baldwin this year. And he's, I think, probably widely available because we don't know what's going on, you know, with Jermaine Kearse, and they didn't know what was going on with Lockett. I think mostly Paul Richardson's out there, and he's a guy I think has a lot of upside this year.
Jake, real quick, because we're going to have you on every week at the same time, but give your fans out here how they can follow you throughout the week.
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Twitter. That's a good way to do it. I'm now just at Jake Kent VT to make it easy, at Jake Kent VT. If you have questions, send them to me. I'm happy to answer. And you can always find our information over at numberfire.com.
Jake, you're the man. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jake. All
right, Jake Kent, interesting information there. He answered your questions.
He does.
He answered mine. Knows his stuff. All right, time to take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show, Bernie. And I can't believe it went by so fast.
It was quick today.
Are you cold or you warm today? What's happening?
I've been both.
Yeah,
it was a sauna in here for the first hour. Now it's a meat locker in here for the second hour.
This place has got menopause. I'm telling you. We'll be right back.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Call me daddy.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
What a treat we just had in here, eh, boys?
J-Dub
coming in here, get a little pregame.
I don't call him J-Dub.
That's a great nickname for him,
not.
Man.
It's terrible.
It is not.
It's terrible.
Our boy Jason getting ready to call the big football game, Burlington at Rice. That's a huge game.
Yes, it is.
Is it kind of weird that rivalry game is this early? Is that not? No, I mean, you would think that would be like a later in the season game.
Yeah, you would think, but.
You know, but whatever, how it worked out.
Yeah.
And J-Dub's going to call it.
That's right.
At 960 The Zone, right? That's what it's going to be.
1 o'clock?
Yeah, we leave, go to 960 The Zone, listen to Jason. He's the man. Jason Dub. I love Jay. He's a good guy. And what a great job. By the way, last week I was driving out to Milton to pick up my wife who was at a friend's house. Let me tell you something, another thing, too. That ride out to Milton, the directions that my phone took me to this part of Milton I've never been before. Oh, my God. It's crazy. There's some tough roads out there. They're narrow. There's not, you can't see much.
Did you see your Sasquatch?
Oh, no, I didn't see a Sasquatch.
Wait, were you hunting?
I wasn't, but yeah, I was okay. Keeping my eye on the road because the road was so windy. And anyway, I listened to Jason the whole way there, and there he was calling the BFA something game. BFA
CBU.
CBU game. And what a for his first gig, man, what a tremendous job he did. Really good job. Really proud of Jason. He's going to be on the zone calling the Burlington Rice game, but I did not see a Sasquatch, you know.
Okay.
But I've been keeping my eye out.
Oh, I know.
You know, because you know my show is Mountain Monsters. You ever see that show, Jamie? That is a good show. Am I right or am I right?
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's gold.
Show.
However, the show that I've been to now lately, I've been moving back to the Food Network. They have a show called like The Worst Cooks or something, Terrible Cooks. Like it's about people that just really can't cook. And they
have my wife on it?
Oh,
but Jamie, please tell me my mic was off.
Wow.
No, that was on.
Good. Hey, I want to throw a quick shout out to everybody that joins today. Tara Sullivan of the Bergen Record, our Giants insider. She's probably in mid-flight right now heading to Dallas for the Giants game. Big Giant game tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Bro, what time? It's probably going to start like at 9.
Yeah.
That's annoying, those Sunday night games. I hate it.
Oh, but it's okay for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's okay.
We're not starting this conversation now. Right, we don't have enough time.
Our good friend
Wait
Tim,
next
ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirchen, got all the information we needed from the baseball season, especially going forward with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Just talked to Jake Ken. Guys, another great show, Bernie. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jamie, well done filling in. You know what's interesting about this? Is he's playing this and we're not listening to that other music.
The yodeler. This is very
Dave
nice right
this
now.
This yodeling music he always plays at the end of the show.
Oh, it's like an old, it's an old 70s Russian yodeler kind of thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And that's our ending of every show. I'm like confused. I don't know how to finish the show. Now it's actually real music. This is good. Guys, we are Sports Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm Jeff. He's Bernie. He's Jamie filling in for Dave. We'll be back here next week.